Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Colonel Donald Ellinger, Deployment Director of the Continuous Process Improvement Initiative within the National Guard Bureau. Also joining us from IBM is Phil Spencer. Colonel, it strikes me that the successful deployment of CPI Lean Six Sigma programs is really not an end in itself. I think you alluded to that in the last segment. Rather, it's an opportunity to start something new or begin, meaning that its success is about driving it into the culture of an organization. And you did a wonderful job in the last segment of articulating that. I'd like to go back to this whole issue of change management and get a sense, even a more in-depth sense, of your strategy and how you're changing or working the change management aspect to make your CPI initiative in the Guard successful?
Well, I think change management is the real key to what we're talking about here. The methodology is sound. The real question is, how do you get leaders to buy into the methodology to be able to execute it the way it needs to be executed to receive those benefits? I think it's a continuous dialogue, continuous education, having a really robust strategic communication plans to be able to highlight your success stories and proof of principle. I think once you have that proof of principle, it's hard to deny the results or the potential of what can be achieved. The change management aspect is so important that I think we lose sight of that. We focus on the training pipeline. We focus on the number of projects. But in order to have a sustainable program and one that's really going to improve the organization, you have to have that sponsorship and buy-in, because that sponsorship and buy-in is also what's going to give you the sustainability. Because if you don't have that, then you're not going to get the right candidates going through the program. But I think that continuous communication, the continuous beating of the drum of how important it is and how it's going to help the organization, then communicating those successes, picking the right people, picking the right projects so people see value is very important and are very critical, not only to the sustainment at the location that you're trying to implement, but also for us, those success stories is the best advertisement that we can have for the program. And so I think adding value is the most important thing and how quickly you do that. And so without that change management aspect, you're looking at a problem-solving methodology that may benefit a little bit of the organization, but it's not going to have the power or really improve the organization to the extent in which it can.
And some of those success stories that you alluded to, which are some of the most powerful ways to change other folks and get buy-in, they've achieved breakthrough change to some extent. What I want to talk about is, though, elaborate on current barriers to real change. Would you tell us about some of the current barriers you're facing in your department, and what are you doing to break through some of these barriers, break down some of these barriers?
Well, I think one of the biggest barriers that we have is one of the greatness of the National Guard is how we're organized and structured. The Adjutant General working for the governor, working with the state, with the National Guard Bureau helping provide oversight with no direct command and control. But the problem is that when you want to get things done in a large organization like that, it takes a lot of relationship building, because not everybody is necessarily going to be on board with what you're trying to do, because initiatives that you do aren't necessarily going to benefit everyone in the organization. Some states may have different priorities than what NGB has for the National Guard as a whole. And so trying to get people on board there makes it very complicated. It just means you just have to work a lot and build those relationships and trust. I think the other piece is getting buy-in, true buy-in. And I think when you see that happen, it's amazing to see how much you can get done and how quickly you can get it done. And a lot of the obstacles and roadblocks that you normally see in a continuous process employment are kind of gone. So I think those two are really the key things that we have to work on within the National Guard. But I'm happy to say that in the second year, we've trained over about 384 practitioners, both Green Belt and Black Belt, and we have completed 68 projects as of this time with about a $32 million worth of benefit to the National Guard. And we have another 236 active projects that are being worked on now. Now, I know some people may say, well, $31 million in a budget of billions isn't great, but I think a program starting from nothing and realizing $31 million is a huge achievement. And then if you look at the ones that we have in the pipeline, the program's only going to grow. And I think when you look at our projects, you know, we have some outstanding projects that show great return. We have other projects that don't necessarily show a huge dollar savings, but I think we have to look past the dollar savings and look at the improvement in the organization and also look at the growth and the maturity of the program. I think as the program matures, you'll start to see opportunities for replication of problems across the enterprise. I think you'll also see opportunities to really be able to have the expertise to tackle some of these huge issues that are facing the National Guard as we grow our practitioners and as they gain experience in solving these problems.
And what I wanted to just say with that $32 million in benefit that you've valued, it's interesting to me because it's very important when you think of the amount of time you save from realizing this. I mean, this $32 million could mean a lot more time to go to mission. It's more than a dollar amount, I would say. It gets you focused on your core mission.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people lose sight of that. When we go and talk, a lot of leaders say, well, what if we save time? You know, we also forget that in the National Guard, like I said, time and manning and personnel are our two greatest challenges. And any time that you're able to also give back time to the soldier to maybe go home an hour early and have dinner on time with the kids, to me is a big win. Now, I don't know how you measure that, but to me that's health of the force. And sometimes we overlook at it because all we want to see is tangible numbers and those types of results. But I don't think you can take a price tag on that when you talk about the health of the force, because our greatest resource, I think, in any organization are its people. And by being able to give back something, whether it be time or even looking at what people are doing and reallocate those resources to a higher priority that might have been shortened, but now that you improve a process, now you have more resources to allocate to that priority, I think is very beneficial to any leader.
The Guard's comprised of 54 states and territories, and those projects and all those trained resources you just mentioned are spread across, at the current time, about just over half of those states and territories. Is that correct?
Yes. Right now we have 35 states that are currently implementing continuous process improvement. And I think with the energy that we're generating on the projects now being completed, and the types of projects being completed, because now leaders are seeing, hey, if people are getting these types of results and these issues, we have similar issues. And if they're having these kind of results, we should be able to have the same type of results if we kind of gravitate to that. And I think that's where we're going to start really seeing some energy here in the next quarter, is being able to, again, through strategic communications, highlighting our victory, so to speak, proof of principle, and then getting other people energized and on board.
That's great. And it seems like it presents you with a couple of different opportunities. And one would be to sustain the gains and sustain the interest in the initiative that has already been generated. But in addition, then, to perhaps attract some of the states and territories that aren't participating right now. Could you talk about those two opportunities and how you're addressing them?
Sure. With those opportunities also come some issues. And what I mean by that is that, as in any organization, especially in the military, sometimes we have turnover. As always, the states that are participating that are doing well, you know who your players are, and you don't really have to focus a lot of effort on them because they're going to go ahead and do business as you expect because they've bought in. The states that have started down the path and has had leadership turnover, we have an engagement strategy to go back and re-engage those new leaders in that organization to kind of revisit, hey, this is where your state was. This is how your state's doing. We would like you to continue down this path, but give them a better understanding of what's involved in continuous process improvement. And also next then is targeting those states that have yet to participate or show an interest. But I'm a firm believer that the proof's in the pudding. So on engagements with states that aren't doing it, we offer to come out. If we don't get invited, I'm okay with that. But I also don't go beating down the door to try to bring people in the fold, so to speak, that aren't interested. One, again, time is a precious resource for me, and to me that's a waste of a resource. I think the focusing on making those states that are involved successful, again, using them as a model, will bring everybody else in. Because when states that are employing CPI become the best states or the model states and doing well in all the metrics that they're graded on. The states that maybe aren't doing so well are going to be going, you know, what is the best practices? What are they using that we're not using that's getting them to rise to the top? And I think you'll see that all high-performing organizations, whether they use Lean Six Sigma or whatever methodology they use, they have a solid strategy. They're able to communicate that strategy and execute that strategy very efficiently and effectively. And I think Lean Six Sigma is a natural thing to gravitate to be able to do that.
Those are some great lessons learned. And, you know, with so many projects going on in 35 different states across the country, there must be a lot of moving parts and a lot of governance challenges in terms of bringing the projects in, ensuring that there are quality projects, for instance, they're sponsored and so forth. Could you talk a little bit about some of the lessons learned or some of the best practices around that that you've put in place?
Sure. I think one of the biggest challenges that we had at the beginning was that again, it goes back to what I said the focus was. When you take an initiative like this, it's easy to focus on how many people do I get through training? How many projects do I got in the hopper? And so that was the initial push, and that's what you would expect. But as we matured and looking back at it, we realized there was a huge gap in the project sponsor aspect. Because the project sponsor is going to be the individual that's really going to make the project go or not go, so to speak. The candidate's just the guy that's doing the staff work. And so we developed a two-day project sponsor course, which teaches a project sponsor what he needs to know, discusses DMAIC so he understands what the candidate is going through, goes through all the tollgate reviews, what's required, what questions should he be asking. And so to us, that helps facilitate project completion because now you have an active champion that sees, hey, this project's important to me, I need to get it done, and I understand what my role is as a project sponsor, and in order to help the candidate out, I need to be very active in removing those obstacles so he can get the work done. I think the other thing for us is leveraging power steering. Having that database and using that to manage, it allows us to go through and identify those projects that are taking longer than they need to so we can focus effort on getting those completed. And we actually used that strategy, focus strategy, this last quarter to get a lot of projects done. And what we did was, in conjunction with the Master Black Belt, identify those projects which were close to being completed and with some extra effort could be completed, and we had them focus their efforts on targeting those projects to get done as they're working and mentoring and coaching the other ones so that we can start having a continuous pipeline of success stories versus having a long strung out population of projects but not really a huge turn of them getting completed. So we assumed some risk, but I think it was well worth it because we had the biggest number of projects completed in one quarter for third quarter. And we're looking at doubling or tripling the number of projects completed in this quarter of the FY because of that focused effort. And I think what it also helps is now candidates are getting projects done and there's a sense of accomplishment. And then with that, working with the states for them to communicate those wins and those success stories generates energy within that organization. And again, going back to proof of principle, shows what can be accomplished using the methodology and if it's supported. And I think that's really key.
Actually, I'd like to touch on that a little bit more in respect from a project portfolio perspective. Some things work, some things don't work, best practices, right? Lessons learned. What are some of the key best practices and some of the lessons learned you want to highlight? And how do you, more importantly, get this information out to the states that are actually engaging?
Well, that's very challenging for us because as we said earlier, you know, our footprint is the entire continental United States, the territories as far away as Guam. So it makes it very difficult. So what we try to do is have a very robust communication strategy through the General Officer Steering Committee. We highlight those victories through that avenue. We provide a quarterly update to the Chief of the National Guard Bureau on the status of the program so he has talking points to be able to discuss the program. Every quarter, we use Defense Connect Online to meet with each state has a CPI director who runs a CPI program for the Adjutant General. So every quarter, we have a Defense Connect Online virtual meeting to be able to talk about practices, letting the field, hearing from the customer on what the issues are and what their concerns are and how we as a entity at NGB can assist them in overcoming those obstacles or support them better. We're also having our first director's workshop. Actually, it'll be the second, but one of the new things that we're doing in this director's workshop is we're actually having a training program for the CPI directors on, you know, what do you need to be as a change agent?
What does the future hold for the National Guard's Continuous Process Improvement Initiative? We will ask Colonel Donald Dellinger, Deployment Director of the Continuous Process Improvement Initiative within the National Guard Bureau, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.